welcome back to For the Culture right here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me for the second hour of tonight's show. Folks, I want to switch gears. I just want to ask you a simple question. Do you agree or disagree with one woman's assessment of how we do our jobs? And when I speak of we, I'm talking about individuals like me and the media. I want to share with you a letter that a woman by the name of Maureen Becker from Baltimore wrote to the Baltimore Sun. And I thought that this was an interesting letter. Don't know exactly all of the layers of it, you know, all of the places she might be coming from. But I want to give you a chance to chime in on the discussion. Maureen Becker wrote a letter saying, quote, in reporting on the incident involving Rena Millerson, this is the 76-year-old woman who was arrested by Baltimore County Police back in January. But in the course of this videotaped arrest, she was thrown to the ground. She said, in reporting on this incident, the Sun chose to use the word grandmother. While she may in fact be a grandmother in this case, that fact was immaterial. An objective report would have used the word woman. The word grandmother, quote unquote, conjures up images of a frail, elderly woman easily victimized by younger, stronger individuals. Grandmothers, however, can be as youthful, strong, disrespectful, and uncooperative as anyone else. Had Ms. Millerson not happened to be a grandmother, the reporter would have had little choice but to use the word woman, which does not elicit as visceral a response in the average reader. If the Baltimore Sun is to espouse the principles of community policing and urge the Baltimore County Police Department to practice it more fully, it should not, in the same article, employ language that fuels anger against the police and further serves to divide the police and, let me get the other part of this letter here. Here we go. Oh. And if the Baltimore Sun is to espouse the principles of community policing and urge the Baltimore County Police to practice it more fully, it should not, in the same article, employ language that fuels anger against the police and further serves to divide the police and the community that they choose, yes, choose, to serve. This letter is from Maureen Becker, of Baltimore. Maureen, thank you so much for the letter, putting it in there. But I want to get your take on it. Do you think she got a point? Now, again, this is about a 76-year-old woman who was thrown to the ground during an arrest. According to her lawyer, remember we had Mr. J. Wendell Gordon on just a few weeks ago to talk about this whole situation of Ms. Rena Millerson. He referred to her as a grandmother. And the fact is, she is a grandmother. Yeah, I don't know how else to say it. She's a grandmother. The case really involved her grandchildren and her daughter and granddaughter. So she is a grandmother. But do you think that Maureen has a point here? Or are we in a space where now we just can't really kind of show any level of, I guess, you know, humanizing people when it comes to media? Because I've often seen this, you know, and there's a principle in journalism that when your job is simply to state the facts. It's like a 23-year-old man was seen today. But then there are some cases where you get, you know, a 45-year-old father, a 64-year-old mother. There are cases like that. But do you think Maureen has a point here? Should we not use this certain this term in this particular case? Because she's saying, oh, grandmothers can be youthful, strong, disrespectful, and uncooperative as anyone else, and that it fuels a divide with the police. That it becomes an issue that if there's really a call about, you know, this idea, this principle of community policing, and to urge Baltimore County Police Department to practice it more fully, we shouldn't use certain language. And I think that in this day and time in 2020, we are really culturally, folks, we are really caught up in language. We are really caught up in language. And I think that there is this tendency to believe that just because we use a certain language that, you know what, it's going to kind of remove the truth from the fact. Like, we are really so caught up in language that we're like, no, don't use this language because it's a little bit more jarring, so let's use something else. It's like calling black people that were involved in the transatlantic slave trade slaves and then kind of using it to say, no, they were indentured servants or they were workers. No, they were slaves. So what are we looking at here? What's your take on this? 410-319-8888. 410-319-8888. Because I think that in this day and time, we have to be very, very intentional about the language we use. And I believe that in journalism, I understand why journalists take that approach of not saying the role that a person plays and just simply say man, woman, or child. But in some cases, I don't think it's totally like out of sight or out of character or just wrong. I don't think so. All right, let me hear what you got to think, though. Mike, checking in from Baltimore. Mike, what do you think Maureen has a point here?
Absolutely, she has a point.
Okay.
White supremacy always has a point. The caucasity. White supremacy always has a point. Roger, the point is to make young children older and to make older women younger. The point is always to dehumanize. And you don't have to read the race of the person because we can refer from her language who she is and what her state of humanity is when it comes to black people and her, and the anti-blackness that she finds through the through linguistics. It's very clear.
Mm. So she says that using the language grandmother, it was a fact that it was immaterial. But you're familiar with this case, right, Mike?
Yeah, of course it's material because she's an older woman and she wants to make the conversation about justifying brutality toward her.
Mm.
Because that's what her language is about. Just like the kids at Roland Park recently.
Yeah.
You know, there were people defending that should be addressed at children. So the point of white supremacy is always to dehumanize black and brown bodies.
Yeah, that's a good point. Hey, Mike, thank you so much for checking in and being a part of the conversation. 410-319-8888. Folks, we're talking about a letter that was written to the Baltimore Sun where women talks about or criticized the Sun for using the term grandmother to describe a 76-year-old woman that was thrown to the ground by Baltimore County Police some weeks ago back in January, saying, it's quote, that it was an immaterial fact and that it adds or it's language that fuels anger against the police and further serves to divide the police and the community which the police serve. Clarence, checking in from Park Heights. What's your take on it, sir? Do you agree or disagree with Maureen here?
Raji, you know, I don't know what planet that person lives on, and she's probably, just like your previous caller said, it's probably a racist, some racism tied up in that, because I don't know whether you had put it in there or she actually said serves to fuel the divide between
That's her language, Clarence.
Well, yeah. How much more the police have already You can't feel any divide between the police departments, whether it's a black or white issue. It's an issue of the police departments against society in general when you consider what they can get away with. It would be almost natural for any reporter to use, in this current climate, and the relationship between the public at large and the police departments, to specifically say, this was a 79-year-old grandmother, and what possible purpose would it serve, or why was it necessary to use that type of force against her? So, you know, she has no issue there. Do we say black? Do we make a point in saying a 29-year-old Afro-American man did this? Okay, well, what does that do? That serves to fuel the divide between blacks and whites. They're all criminals. We have to watch out for them. It's all over the place. It's even in when we talk about Muslim people. She has no, you know, what planet does she live on?
Thank you, Clarence. I hear you loud and clear. Checking in from Park Heights. Let's go to Kim in Baltimore, then LaVon in Northeast Baltimore. Kim, what's your take on this? Does Maureen have a point here? Should we start to really look at change our language to help to improve the relationship between police and the community?
Hi. Yes, I think she does have a point. And in this particular instance, I don't think that we need to make it about race or color thing. I think that the media, whoever's going to report on the news, has a social obligation to report on just the facts. And I think that what is the point of throwing in that word grandmother? You know, just like if you talk about another headline, what is the point of saying 24-year-old black woman? Like, what is the point? And I think the point of that writer is to elicit some sort of emotion, or else they wouldn't have thrown that word in the first place. So I really think that she does have a point. I mean, this woman, and I don't know the specifics of the story. I did not know what color she was. But I think that any human is capable of being out of order and uncontrollable. And not saying that it's okay to hit someone that's 79, you know, but given the specific circumstances, it's very possible that she could have been out of order, you know, and her age doesn't have anything to do with that.
Well, you know what, Kim, if you haven't had a chance to see the video, it's publicly available. But
okay.
in the case, the grandmother, this woman, the 76-year-old woman, is standing there. She already is detained by police, not in a very rough sense. She's standing there, and the police is standing next to her. And another cop comes over and literally starts picking her up and slamming her.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, The case is, it wasn't even about the grandmother. It was about her grandchildren, her granddaughter, and her daughter. So, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
So, I think that when you're talking about the use of language that is talking about contextualizing the person that's in the story to give people a sense, like, who is this person?
Right. And just in response to the question on whether or not we should be careful of our grammar or of our linguistics, I think that we should definitely be careful to know why we are throwing in those descriptive words. And I think it's more about intention.
Yeah, that's very true. That is very true. Kim, I appreciate you. Thank you so much for checking in. Let me head out here to LaVon in Northeast Baltimore. Then we got Gerard and Dwayne. LaVon, what's your take on this?
Yes, how are you, Faraji? Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
In this instance, because they went in the grandmother's house of the person that they were looking for, her granddaughter.
Yeah.
They had to tell what their relationship was as it related to the fact that they arrested this grandmother. They weren't even after her. They were after the granddaughter.
Right.
So so that's what this is about. That's why you had to use the word grandmother, because it was the granddaughter that they were actually after. In this situation, I think the lady, Maureen, doesn't have a point. She's missed the whole point. If this was a different situation, if this lady, that they were arresting somebody on the highway, and it was an older lady, they don't need to bring in grandmother in that case, because they arrested her because she was speeding. So to bring in grandmother would be wrong to use that as a description. But in this instance, because the relationship of who they were trying to arrest was a granddaughter of the grandmother that they violently assaulted.
Yeah.
She already had handcuffs on. There was no need for her to be thrown to the ground like she was not human.
Right, right. Let me ask you this, though, LaVon. Do you think that this language, it fuels anger against the police and divides the police from the community?
It absolutely does, and it should.
Oh, and you said, and it should.
And it's the right thing to do because of how they treat us anyway and never are held accountable. Yes, it should. People should know what the situation is, and it shouldn't have been held back. This was a truthful statement. It's a truthful story. It's given the fact. This is a part of the fact.
Gotcha.
It's different if it was a different situation where it wasn't relevant because it wasn't a part of the fact. She was a grandmother. She was a church lady. All of this stuff. To list all of that, if it was outside of this situation, is irrelevant. If she was arrested on the highway for something else, that's irrelevant for you to bring on all of her titles.
Gotcha.
But in this situation, it was relevant because of what they were there for.
Okay.
The granddaughter.
Granddaughter, grandmother, understandable.
LaVon,
thank you so much for checking in from Northeast Baltimore. Let me hear from Gerard, then Dwayne. Gerard, what's your take on it, sir?
Roger.
Yes, sir.
You gotta be real careful, man, because, I mean, already the city we need help. And already I heard you say it a couple times that they threw that lady on the ground. She was already in handcuffs and they threw her on the ground. Man, we gotta be careful, man, because what you saying making people hate the police when that wasn't even the case, man. That lady was playing games, man, with them people. They was there to get the lady granddaughter. And y'all keep saying the police snatched her out the door. No, the granddaughter pushed her out the door.
No, I didn't say the police granddaughter snatched her out. Wait a minute. Hold on, Gerard. I didn't say the police snatched her out the door. Now, if you look at the video, I said that she was already detained, and then another police officer came on the scene and threw her to the ground. He slammed her. Is that not what happened?
When they touched the grandmother.
Huh?
If the granddaughter would have came out of there, like the police...
Oh, wait a minute. Hold on, Gerard. Okay,
no,
now, listen, hold on, bro.
Stop pointing the finger at the police all the time, man.
Hey, the police was wrong.
What's been going on behind that
door? What are you talking about? The police was wrong, Gerard. You don't slam somebody's...
Man, could have been going on behind that door.
Come on, man. Come on.
There's too much stuff going on out here, man, for the police to be standing there and going through all of that.
Hey, listen. Check us out. Hey, Gerard. I want you to ride with me on this, bro. Did you see the video? Did you see the video?
Don't stand on wrong, man. Y'all standing on
no,
wrong.
No, we ain't standing on wrong. No. Wait a minute. Hold on. You want to go off on a tangent. I'm saying, you said we standing on wrong. The police chief said that she was disturbed. The county executive, Johnny Olszewski, said he was disturbed. The residents said that they were disturbed.
Huh? I'm just saying that he said we can get an airplane to watch him. He didn't say that when he was down there in New Orleans. I'm just saying.
Wait a minute. You talking about the city. This situation happened in Baltimore County, Gerard.
Man, you inciting violence, man.
I'm inciting violence. Okay, Gerard, thank you for your time. How am I? Inciting violence? Get your facts straight, brother. Get your facts straight. And take a look at what happened on the video. Let's go back to the phone line. And look, that's what happened. This ain't Faraji Muhammad making up some story. That's what happened. Look at the video. Let's go back. Dwayne, talk to me. Checking in from Baltimore. What's your take?
Let me ride. Hey, you know, that lady who sent the letter, you know, is absolutely correct 100% in a perfect world. And unfortunately for her, we don't live in a perfect world, okay? And we know that media bias permeates our entire media system, black media, white media, you name it, okay? And so, you know, her point is spot on in a perfect world, but we don't live in that perfect world. We live in the real world. In the real world, bias invades the media. So when they do stories, of course, they're courting for sympathy, and they're putting those descriptors in there. That's throughout the entire media. Everybody does it.
Right. You're absolutely right. So we got this bias that's happening, And so I guess that's the point of this conversation, Dwayne, is that given that we do have this bias, we do have to be careful about the language. But it still doesn't negate the facts of actually what happened. We can create the, we can sanitize or change the language, but the facts are on the tape. The woman was slammed by a police officer.
I don't think that the lady was trying to address, you know, the actual events. I think she's in the letter. I think she's trying to, she was being critical of the media, you know, and I think rightfully so. But unfortunately, you know, and also, you know, if you want to, you know, throw race into the mix. I mean, you know, we always, you know, get held. Our white brothers and sisters are can be real objective when it comes to us, and not so objective when it comes to judging themselves. But
they can
be perfectly objective in judging us, but not so objective when judging themselves. But
right.
You know, in a perfect world, she's absolutely correct. But we don't have we're not in a perfect world. We don't have a perfect media. Our media is biased from the rooter to the tutor.
Right, there it is. Hey, Dwayne, I appreciate you, and I do want to make a clarification, folks. The woman was not in handcuffs. She was not in handcuffs when she was slammed to the ground at that time. They put her in after the fact. So Cleveland checked in on my Facebook page and made that clarification. And Cleveland, thank you so much. She was not in handcuffs. And there is looking at the footage, she was not in handcuffs. But the fact is, she was slammed to the ground, folks. Look, we're going to take our final break. Let me continue to take your calls, 410-319-8888. Make sure you post your comments on my Facebook page at Faraji Muhammad, broadcasting live on Facebook. We're talking about a letter that was written from Maureen. I'm going to share with you what the contents of that letter is so you can get a full context of this conversation. Stay riding with me. It's Fuller Culture on WEAA.
I do this for my culture.
Peace and welcome back to For the Culture here on WEAA 88.9 FM and WEAA.org. Absolutely the voice of the community. I'm your host, Faraji Muhammad. Thank you so much for checking in and riding with me, folks. Tonight, talking about a letter that a woman by the name of Maureen wrote to the Baltimore Sun. We had to bring this conversation up because I thought, you know what? This seems like it's something that we should talk about. The letter is called "Don't Call Women Forcefully Handled by Police a Grandmother." She said, in reporting on the incident involving Rena Millerson, the Sun chose to use the word grandmother on talking about the issue of the 76-year-old woman who was thrown to the ground by police. Maureen said in her letter, while she may in fact be a grandmother, in this case, that fact was immaterial. An objective report would have used the word woman. The word grandmother conjures up images of a frail, elderly woman easily victimized by younger, stronger individuals. Grandmothers, however, can be as youthful, strong, disrespectful, and uncooperative as anyone else. Had Ms. Millerson not happened to be a grandmother, the reporter would have had little choice but to use the word woman, which does not elicit as visceral a response in the average reader. If the Baltimore Sun is to espouse the principles of community policing and urge the Baltimore County Police Department to practice it more fully, it should not, in the same article, employ language that fuels anger against the police and further serves to divide the police and the community that they choose, yes, choose, to serve. What's your take on that? Do you agree with Maureen's view of the use of the word grandmother or not? Does it help to heal or to fuel the anger and further divide the police and the community? In this case, grandmother, like I say, and I feel like this is more of an indictment on media, but in this case, I think grandmother gives the viewer, the reader, a context of the relationship between the person that was involved, the original person that was involved in this situation, which was not Miss Rena Millerson, but her granddaughter and her. But let's go back to the line here, what you have to say. 410-319-8888. Let's go to Michael, first timer in checking in from Baltimore. Michael, thank you so much for being one of our first time callers. What's your take?
My take is you're 100% correct. The term was correct. It was used properly. But the guy who called before your last guy,
yeah,
either he's a cop or his daddy's a cop. And you can't make it any worse between the police in Baltimore City, Baltimore County, and black people. After all, I believe they killed one of their own. So they have no respect for the public. I believe they killed the detective. Killed him so he wouldn't testify. So why should the public? That's the whole thing with crime in Baltimore. You can't expect the public to not do crime. You got a criminal, corrupt, racist police department.
In both Baltimore City and Baltimore County?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Michael, thank you so much for checking in, being a first-time caller. Let's go back to the line, 410-319-8888. Let me hear from Karen, then Ronald. Karen, what's your take on this, ma'am?
I disagree with her and that whole term out. She was 76 years old. These are police officers. I'm sure they were younger than her. So how robust of a confrontation could she have had with them? They're trained peace officers. They have to body slam a 76-year-old woman. We won't call her a grandmother. 76. That's enough for me right there. And if the police want to have a better relationship with the black community, they need to stop having these types of scenarios occur. They're their own worst enemies. It has nothing to do with someone reporting an incident. How about we stop having these incidents? And it seems like anything goes when the person's black. Anything goes. You can kill our children. You can kill our fathers and brothers. You can body slam our 76-year-old women. See, again, I'm not using the term grandmother, but it still is going to piss somebody off that a 76-year-old woman can't be detained or controlled by younger police officers. They have to body slam her. And I wonder if that writer would feel the same way if it had been her sister who happened to be 76. Again, I don't need to use the term grandmother. It's a matter of, do they need to body slam someone who's 76? And she's 76. I don't care how fit she is. She's still 76 and probably decades older than all the police officers that were there that day or night or whatever happened.
She was, you know? Karen. She was older. Have you seen the video?
No, I haven't seen the video, but just understanding from what you've told us about the scenario. Yeah. She's a grandmother. It is relevant. It is material because it is supposed to conjure up humanity. Because the whole thing is the Marine woman is dehumanizing, the woman who wrote the letter is dehumanizing the person who was body slammed. So people need to know this was someone's grandmother. It is relevant. It is material. She was somebody's grandmother. There was something going on with her granddaughter, and she was there dealing with it whatever way she was dealing with it. But it doesn't give the police license to body slam her.
No, you're right.
That's the only way they know how to get the situation and de-escalate. They need to go back and do some retraining.
Karen, thank you so much for checking in from Baltimore. Let's go to Ronald. Ronald, what's your take on it, sir?
Boy, you cook on gasoline tonight, boy.
Ronald, what you think, man?
But let me start off with this. The power is in the pen. Now, I agree with what Maureen said. However, the media has used this tactic all the time, and they use it against blacks all the time. Think about what when the Katrina happened.
Yep.
They were no longer, the victims of Katrina were no longer citizens of New Orleans. They were what? Refugees.
Refugees, looters.
And looters, exactly. Yep. So, again, you can color, you can make the narrative what you want when you have the pen in your hand. So, yeah, she's exactly right. But, again, it happens against us more times than it does in our favor.
You know what? That's Ronald. You bring it up. And, you know, I was just thinking, when we have national tragedies like mass shootings, I'm thinking about the mass shootings and whether it's in Las Vegas and other places around this country. We make, and I'm saying, we accept, rather, the labels that is attached to those folks, because we don't say 500 people have been shot at. We say 500 mothers, sons, daughters, you know.
Exactly.
We start to humanize. So I think that is the, like, I think that at the same time, like, it does draw, like Maureen says, yes, it creates this conjures this image, but it is based upon, I think, the circumstances of that situation.
Yeah, and I think it should be done in some cases. Think about the victims of September 11th.
Yeah,
they were deemed what, heroes, weren't they?
Right.
So, yeah, I think for the sensitivity and to keep it in context, you have to put those descriptors on it.
Good point. Hey, Ronald, thank you so much for checking in. Linda, out of Catonsville. Linda, what's your take on this, ma'am?
Okay. First of all, I agree with the caller before him that saying that man must have been an officer or had somebody that was, you know, in the field.
Yeah.
Because he was too animate about, you know, what people are saying about police officers or people of the law. I don't think anybody's saying a whole lot of bad about what's going on in the law because I got a child on the ground that's dead from a police contract. Mm. However, the grandmother situation is they charged her with interfering with police to come and arrest the granddaughter.
Right.
And that's what they're going to stand on. Because she was standing in the door, blocking the door, not allowing them to go in what they want and get the young lady they had the warrant for.
Yeah.
I'm not saying they're right. Believe me, I'm not saying they're right. I am a grandmother. If I was thrown to the ground, it would be a terrible national mistake. However, we got to realize that when we put ourselves in positions for them to do things to us, we got to live with the repercussions.
Yeah, and you know what? And you know, Linda, I appreciate you for checking in. I think you, I think that the piece about bringing some humanity, I think we do need to have some humanity, especially when it comes to certain things. What's wrong with that? You know, if somebody is unjustifiably violated, especially by those in authority, whether it's police, maybe a child is unjustifiably abused. Come on. We should have some humanity about it. Again, going back to national tragedies, we should. These aren't just names and numbers. These are people that have who have lives and families. And I think that as much tragedy that is often reported in the media, the last thing the media, I think the biggest thing or one of the big things that media can do, the biggest thing that media can do is humanize people. It's humanize people. Right? Now, when there are issues like mass shooters happening, the mass shooters oftentimes we have to guess the description of the mass shooter. You know? We say, oh, well, he must be, is he black or is he white? Is he a father? Is he a son? I mean, you know, like, who is he? But I think that it's for the media's sake, and if it's about telling a story, which is what we do as media, we're trying to tell stories, we're trying to explain stories. We have to tell a story. And there has to be some connection that I think. Now, like I said, this is not for everybody. But the story should be told. Because the media is supposed to be objective in its reporting. But at the same time, because the media influence is so big, we have to keep in mind that that's somebody's family. The 348 victims of homicides last year in Baltimore City, they should be humanized in some way, shape, or form. So let's go back to the phone lines to hear what you got to say, folks. Let's go to Action. Action, what's your take on it, sir? And good to hear from you.
Thank you, Taraji. What's going on, brother?
Hey, good, man.
I don't mind riding with you, but you're going to have to start paying me gas money. But put that aside.
Yes, sir.
Listen. The lady was right. Unfortunately, until we come together as communities, I say communities, not community. And the reason why I say communities is because we have to stop isolating ourselves from issues. Mm. We need to come together, Latinos, Hispanics, Mexicans, Black, White. If we don't, it's never going to come to the point where we need for it to come to. And I'll say that to say this. As much as the Jews has been discriminated against, the reason why they are so powerful is because they come together and they control the narrative. We do not control the narrative. And we need to start controlling the narrative. And the only way we're going to control it, we got to come together as community. Because, again, you're going to continue to have racism, sexism, and definitely police brutality.
So, action for Maureen, the writer of this letter, to take the stance that the language fuels anger against the police and further serves to divide the police and the community. Is that irrelevant, or is that something that, you know, that the media should burden? Is that an issue that the media should carry?
I think it's an issue the media should carry, because, like she said, it's irrelevant. She was a woman. It had nothing to do with she was an old man, old lady, young lady, old lady.
Okay.
Period. But we got to come together as communities, Taraji. I'm telling you, if we don't, it's not going to happen. Last, I'll say this. Martin Luther King would not have been the activist that he is today if it wasn't for those other communities and nationalities that make that march in Washington successful.
No, he
wasn't there by himself.
No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. Action, thank you so much for checking in. It's good to hear from you, brother. Miss Rita, checking in from Baltimore. Miss Rita, what's your take on this, ma'am?
Hi, sweetie.
Hi, Miss Rita.
I hear what Mr. Action is saying, but I disagree. And the only reason why, narrative, very important word. I wonder if the narrative was different and it instead stated three officers body slammed an older woman, and the woman happened to have been a Caucasian.
Mm-hmm.
What would have happened? I guarantee you. Yeah, we do say that the media does control, and the media is supposed to be objective. But the reality is the media can be very prejudicial and discriminative in its description and what it wants to put out for us to understand.
Yeah.
And with that in mind, I assure you that if it was an older white woman that was body slammed. Oh, and don't let it have been three black officers.
Mm.
And it was a black officer that it flipped that old woman, that old Caucasian woman over. I can assure you, the narrative would have been different and the outcome would have been much more explosive. And there probably would have been mandates to make changes for those cops to make sure it doesn't happen again.
Yeah. Right.
So I really am disappointed on how we as a people of color, we tend to lean towards these absurdities, and that's an absurdity for this woman to make that statement, because I can assure you, if it was a different color and it was a different instance, this conversation would be much different.
Miss Rita, thank you so much. Always good to hear from you. Let's go to another first-time caller, Brent out of Baltimore. Brent, what's your take on it, sir?
Hey, Faraji, how you doing?
I'm good, man. How are you, Brent?
Okay, look, first of all, you got to look at the whole video in this contest, right?
Yeah.
Number one, when it first came on, she said, oh, what, you followed me home? You followed me to this house? So it became personal for that cop.
Oh, yeah.
It became personal, okay?
Oh, yeah.
Then, now, you could debate whether or not it was right or wrong for her grandmother to shut the door or not shut the door because he stuck his foot in that door. Now, we all know if a cop want to come in, all you got to do is wait for backup, and they coming.
They coming. They coming. Right.
Period. They coming. But for him, think about all the things that happened. He shot Mace in that house indiscriminately, knowing his children and other people in there.
Yeah.
He shot that taser in the house, not knowing where it was going, because he couldn't see. He couldn't see. So it became very personal for him. And that's what we need to look at and understand that sometimes, you know, policemen are human, too. They need to realize that their prejudice sometimes prejudge and make decisions for them that they really probably would not do, but they did.
And, okay. And you know what, Brent?
And the last,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Brent.
And the last thing I want to say is the gentleman, the cop that came up and body slammed the young lady. Now, you can say whether she's a grandmother or you can say 76-year-old woman. You say a 76-year-old woman, I picture the grandmother.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
But the bottom line was he ran up. Now, they were walking this lady out the house.
Right.
She was under control. They were walking her out. He just grabbed her. And slammed.
And slammed.
He didn't even know what was going on.
Come on.
He just grabbed it and slammed it.
And you know what? Me, here's the thing that I have a problem with. I have, and Brent, I appreciate you, man, for being a first-time caller. Don't let this be the last time. The thing that I have a problem with is the fact that semantics is not the problem. In this case, semantics is not the problem in this case, man. It's the cop's behavior that's the problem. Not semantics. It's the cop's behavior. So if we're saying, if I know Maureen said, employee language that fuels anger against the police and further... Come on, Maureen. It's the police officer's behavior that fuels anger against the police. It's the police officer's behavior that becomes a wedge that divides the police and the community. It's the behavior, not the semantics, not the language. Let's go back to the line. Let me hear from Abby, another first-time caller. Thank you for checking in, Abby. What's your take on this, ma'am? Oh, we just lost Abby. Give us a call right back. 410-319-8888. Paul, Northwest Baltimore, then Derek out of Randallstown.
How you doing, Faraj?
I'm good, Paul. How are you?
I'm doing great. I'm glad you said that. It was what he did that created the situation. And we should say something. I think the media should say something. Instead of every time we turn on Fox 45, Donald Trump is on there with that crazy jump. It's time, you know, the one thing on my job, they got a new person on the job. She talked about customer service. He came there to assist. Things wasn't as bad as it was. And he just jumped out the car with that gung-ho attitude. And could have broke her arm or could have killed her. She could have had a heart attack. No matter what they say about her being a grandmother, it's the truth, ain't it? She's 76 years old. Those are her grandchildren. I think she's wrong. I really think she's wrong. Every time they get I don't want to make it a black and white thing, but every time something happens on our end where we try to get across to the public that all we want to do is be treated fairly, somebody come up and make a statement like this. And it's just uncalled for. I think she got it wrong. And I'm glad she ain't media. If she was the media, she'd be on a Rush Limbaugh show.
Paul, thank you so much for checking in from Baltimore. I appreciate it. Thank you. Wow. Rush Limbaugh. You mean the same Rush Limbaugh, Paul, that got the Presidential Medal of Freedom? The Presidential Medal of Freedom for Rush Limbaugh. The one thing I listen to Rush Limbaugh very quickly. I actually do listen to Rush. But one of the things that I do admire the fact is that he has a platform and he knows what to say and how to organize his 31 million listeners, and it's interesting platform that he carries. But the fact is, the thing about Rush, and I think a lot of people, is the fact of how to use language that is going to activate. And this is the big point of where we are in America, because I can't express this enough or emphasize this enough. The language that we use, especially in public platforms, whether it's the media or even social media, traditional social media, doesn't matter. The language that we use to describe a situation is important. Do you remember the old statement, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me? That's not true. Words carry weight. And so in this day and time, I understand that element that Maureen is trying to say. It carries weight. I can't, as a writer, as a media professional, I know the power of words. I understand the power of words. And it carry a lot of weight. And when you're writing, and when you go through that writing process, and writers, you understand what I'm about to say. When you go through that writing process, you might go crazy to find the perfect word, just one perfect word that's going to bring your idea into a better understanding of what's in your mind, what's in your heart, what's in your spirit to share. That one word, you will agonize over one word. Say, this would be right if I could just, I need to fix one word. And so we can't look at as if language is a small thing. In today's time, language is everything. The written word and the spoken word. And that's why I bring this story to the forefront to our thinking, because we can't lose sight of the language that is oftentimes used, the semantics of a situation. Let's go back to the phone line. Derek out of Randallstown, then we got George. Derek, what's your take on it, sir?
Hey, Roger, thanks for having me. Always a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
I got a few points. One, unfortunately, Baltimore County has had an issue with dealing with African Americans for at least all of the 40 years I've been out here.
Come on.
I can name three or four situations that I've personally been involved in. That one had led to my brother becoming a police officer and actually aspiring and acquiring the highest ranking position as a police officer in Howard County. And he retired as a major.
Mm.
Because he was accosted in an inappropriate way when we was kids, when we was in high school. So that led him to say, you know what, I'm never going to let this happen again to another child. This is what I'm going to dedicate my life to, and that's what he did. He retired as a major.
Wow.
But anyway, moving right along.
Yeah.
All of them should be held accountable. All those policemen should be held accountable. Because, I got from a reliable source that man that came in there and grabbed that woman and threw her to the ground, he was the youngest officer amongst all of them, which means he had the least experience.
Mm.
So the presiding officers on the scene had more seniority. They just let him come in and take over the situation and scenario, and he wasn't even a part of it to begin with.
Come on.
You know?
Yeah.
So all of them should be held accountable.
Well, yeah, and I agree with you right there, Derek. For me, that's hands down. There's no questions asked about that. All of them should be held accountable, because even in the situation, if you look at it, one of the officers that originally detained Ms. Mellerson, one of the officers said, "Hey, man, you gone? Hey, just chill out." Kind of like after the police officer had slammed the woman. He was like, hey, just kind of chill out. Because he knew, he got too far. He got too far. Come on, Maureen. You knew that officer gone too far. Stop acting like you don't know. So you're gonna shift the emphasis on from the officer's action to how the media reports it? Like the media's wrong? Come on. George, what's your take? You got the final word.
How you going, Mr. Muhammad? This is George. The previous caller, the lady that called earlier, she laid it out perfectly. I just want to add one more thing. Cops don't discriminate, because you got all races. They beat on young, old. I seen another video when a black officer beat a little kid, slammed a kid to the ground. It was like 10 or 12 years old.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
I think it's the training that they give these officers and send them to the street with no respect for the public.
Yeah.
They can pull you over for a minor thing.
Yeah.
Like a seatbelt and beat on you.
Hey, George,
that's got to change.
No, you're absolutely right.
I hope the leadership is listening to your show. They need to change. If the public want to respect the cops, they need to implement certain changes.
You're right.
That can't be going on all these times.
No, you're right. I mean, hey, George.
You can watch all kind of videos right now. You watch them all. They beat on young, old, white, black, Hispanic. They beat on all of them.
I hear you. George, thank you so much for checking in. Cody checked in and said, look, I'm convinced as a black race, God have to deal with this foolishness, because all we do is talk. No actions as one. Well, I think, Cody, that you're right. But more importantly, we have the power. God has given us the power to see what's going on. And then given us the power. We just have to have the will, the collective will, to make some changes. And I agree with you. We have to come together. But more importantly, I want us to look at the language of what's happening. Language is very important. We talk about President Trump. Look at his language. That's why I say you can't just disregard the language that is often used. And people are an uproar about words, about language. And language is important because language is the very tool that influences people's thinking. Language is the very tool that's bringing people together or making people fall apart. Language is important, folks, especially in 2020. And more importantly, language gives us a context on how to see people and circumstances. Language. If I say slaves, you conjure up one thing. If I say indentured servants, you don't know what I'm talking about. If I say woman, okay. If I say grandmother, different context. But there is a time for us to be human, and then there is a time for us to just be used or to talk about our gender. When there's a violation by those in authority, when there's a national tragedy, when there is a loss of life, we should humanize the victim. And what's wrong with that? They've already have experienced trauma. And if we're talking about bringing some healing to the trauma that we've experienced, the language has to be used. I agree, Maureen, that language is important, but guess what? If we don't have the language that heals, then how can we come together? How can we come into a space that we can fall as one if we don't see each other as human beings? It's very simple. Folks, I want to thank each and every one of you for being a part of the conversation, both online and on air. Continue the conversation. Friend me on all social media platforms at Faraji Muhammad on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. And certainly, I thank you for all of your wonderful calls and discussions tonight. Stay tuned up next is some MSU, Morgan State University basketball. As we check in with my big man, my big brother, Lamont Germany, is going to give us the play-by-play, so stick around for some of that great Bears basketball. As always, never be afraid to challenge what's wrong, stand for what's right while being yourself in the process. Thank you to my production team, Ms. Mallory Pinker-Pierre, Alex Blanc, and my man Dre Day for making me sound so good. In Baltimore, stay tuned tomorrow for another exciting edition of For the Culture, right here on your source for cool jazz and more, WEAA 88.9 FM. And remember, Baltimore, do more, but be exceptionally good for the culture. Peace.